when we think about those things, of course, there's all different aspects that we have during this. We look at the value of work, the necessity of work, why we have to gain, why we have to go and involve ourselves in God's processes, and that we are rewarded for those processes temporally, and that we use those money and we go purchase things that our family needs. We also learn the value of work as it comes with dignity, that all work is created, all moral and ethical work is created in a dignified manner, and that we are inherently created with the ability and desire to work, and we should be involving ourselves in God's process because we are to take care of this planet and be good stewards. And being involved in the economy of the planet is a way in which we do that. We are not just passers-by. We don't just watch things happen. Christianity is not a spectator religion. It's not a spectator sport. We don't just watch things occur. God is not a far-off God. He is not a God that is removed where he winds things up like the great watchmaker and then just lets things happen. No, God is intimately involved in everything that happens here on earth. He's intimately involved in where we work and what we do while we're at work in a process of sanctification as he gives us the grace to lay aside the sin and the weight that easily pulls us aside and distracts us. He understands and he works with us. He understands human beings because he's God and he's created us. So he works with us and then we cooperate with that grace and then we work to glorify him in everyday life. That's the dignity that comes with work. It's more than just us getting up and going to work and getting a paycheck. We are involved with God's processes here in this world. And everybody has seen this. When a mother is baking in the kitchen or a father is working on a car or something and your child comes in and says, "Mommy, Daddy, can I help you? Can I help?" Well, of course, how many mechanic jobs have been catapulted by a young boy asking his dad, "Can I help?" Well, the dad knows that the child will more than likely slow him down, that he could get this job done much faster without the distraction of a young child here. But he also knows that this is my son, and I want to teach him, and I want him to be involved. I want to spend this time with me. So he tells you, your father then teaches the child, teaches you, this is what an open-faced wrench is. This is what a socket is. And you tell them where to get those tools, and then they give you the tools. Now, we all know that you can complete that job without your child, but you want your child involved in the process. And that is, to us, a great thing, because we know that God wants us involved in the process of doing his work. And us, regardless of our job, again, as long as it's ethical and moral, all of our jobs, all of our work that we do is part of God's grander scheme, his idea, his plan for what's happening in this world. And we're a part of that. And that's amazing. So when we are disrupted with that, we have to think, what is it that God is doing in this situation that is showing us? What is he trying to teach us? We know that work is valuable, but what is he trying to teach us now that we're home? What is he trying to teach us now that we're unable to obtain work? Could it be that God is trying to show us that we have to be more dependent on him, that it isn't us that gets wealth, but God who generates the ability for us to get wealth? Could it be that God wants you to slow down and spend more time with your family? Could it be that you're focused too much on work and you're not doing enough to help your children or your wife? Or wife, you're not doing enough to help your husband, or that God is using this to revitalize your desire to be involved in your children's lives? I don't know. You have to figure that out. What is it that God is teaching you through this? I can't say to you, this is what God is doing for you in your life during this, because I don't know you. I'm not acquainted with you intimately like God is. I don't know your daily walk, your daily life, what you do each and every moment. I don't understand those things, but God does, and he's there. So if you are still in this confused state, maybe you're worked up into a frenzy of trying to figure out what is actually happening here in society. And like I do many times, I bow towards government intervention and tyranny, and I get worked up in that area. And I sometimes forget to stop, slow down, step back and think, Lord, I know my proclivity for this. This is where I go when I see these news stories. I automatically think that we are being controlled and there's tyranny and such. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but that is my proclivity. That's my bent. So I know that I have to factor that into when I interpret news or look at information. But it's also good for me to step back sometimes and say, Lord, I know that there's a lot of stuff going on out there that I don't see. But I also know that you are in control of everything. Because I can say the government is trying to overreach. They're trying to take away our rights. They're trying to strip us of dignity. But I know no one can take from us our dignity because you are our God. And if you are our God and you are on our side, not if, since you are our God, the God of the universe, and I know that you are on our side, it doesn't matter what they do to me. I am secure in your love. So that's one thing I know that the Lord is doing with me. How does it look in your life? What's going on that the Lord, I'm not, if you want to throw it into the chat room to be an encouragement to somebody, go right ahead. I'm not looking for an email. I'm not looking for a tweet. I'm not looking for you to drop anything. I just want you to think about this. Because as mentioned, I know what the Lord is doing in my mind. I know that the books that I've been reading and the articles that I've been reading, I know that there gets to a certain point where I'm just like, Lord, there's just, I need to step back and I need to focus on your goodness, your kindness, and your mercy, especially revealed in Christ. Because that is the pinnacle. That's the paramount. That's the purpose. All three of those P's with that alliteration, all of those things, that's the purpose for our life, is to bring glory and honor to Christ. So now having said all that, there are some theology principles, theological principles that are true and hold true regardless of what God may be doing in your life. He may use this situation in myriad ways to apply that to each individual, but there are still some theological things that we see and we know that God is doing regardless. An article here from The Atlantic, the headline of which is interesting, from Jonathan Merritt, who used to be a Southern Baptist pastor out of Georgia. I believe his father was too. The article headline is, some of the most visible Christians in America are failing the coronavirus test. In place of love, they're offering stark, self-righteous judgment. Now, that's interesting because I know, as I just mentioned, I understand my presupposition and my bent. Now, looking at folks who have left the faith, or those who are from the outside looking in, we know that they also have a bent. And typically, if they've been inside a church and they've left the church, it's always people at church. Church folks suck. Church folks are terrible. I don't like them. I don't like church. And actually, it wouldn't be a Southern accent. They would just simply, they would surmise that church folks are not as kind as other people are. But anyway, that's a nice presupposition to know going into this. Jonathan Merritt starts out here. He says, if the coronavirus is a test of our collective character, some American Christians are flat out flunking. Consider the popular pastor John Piper. He's got a lot of P's in there too. He is a past Southern Baptist pastor. Consider the popular pastor John Piper, who has asked what he would say to pastors who claim that the pandemic is God's judgment on sinful cities and arrogant nations. Now, if you're not familiar with who John Piper is, let me see here. If you're not familiar with who John Piper is a pastor out of Minnesota, I believe. And he was asked on a segment of his, what they call Ask Pastor John segment, about how do we make sense of the coronavirus. And one of the response that he had to this question was, does the pandemic mean that God's judgment on sinful nations and cities and arrogant nations, etc.? And John Piper said, God sometimes uses disease to bring particular judgments upon those who reject him and give themselves over to sin. Now, there is, when you go and read what Piper has to say, he gives, it's a 16-minute audio clip, but there are four things that he gives which lay out the exact biblical theology which follows behind the fact that, yes, God does use sickness. He uses disease, he uses pandemics, he uses famines, he uses unrighteous leaders. He uses storms and natural, what we quotey fingers, natural or God-sent disasters.